From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, August 27th. Coming up, a Central Illinois attorney was sanctioned for using AI in a brief with hallucinated cases. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The Urbana Free Library's new executive director says the library is working to preserve and promote local history. Talia Abdullah was appointed to the position last month. She says the library has been updating its Champaign County Historical Archives since last year.
This is such a hidden gem, I feel like, in our community. It's very popular, and it's also something that unless you're a regular library user or you're affiliated in some way with the library or with archives, is may be something that people are not familiar with.
The archives have copies of old papers, historical maps, and government documents, and genealogy records. Abdullah says staff and volunteers have helped digitize more than 7,000 new records in a local history online catalog. The Urbana Free Library is currently renovating part of its first floor and child play area, and the project is expected to wrap up in December. Illinois is renewing an effort to bring a new fertilizer production facility to East Central Illinois. IPM's Arjun Tucker has more from yesterday's Farm Progress Show in Decatur.
For more than a decade, Cronus Chemicals has been trying to construct an ammonia production facility in the Douglas County town of Tuscola. Now, Governor J.B. Pritzker says the $2 billion project is moving forward with state tax incentives from the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. The governor says the plant will help increase fertilizer supply for farmers and combat rising agricultural costs.
At a time when the new administration in Washington has imposed tariff taxes and cuts to programs at the USDA, and they're taking their toll on farmers and on rural communities, this new Illinois investment is a critical boost to our most important industry.
Cronus first announced the plant in 2014, but construction was delayed due to permitting and financial challenges. The state says the plant will create thousands of construction jobs and have 130 full-time employees when it opens. I'm Arjun Tucker, IPM News.
President Donald Trump's Monday executive order aims to take federal funding away from Illinois and other states that don't use cash bail. But Capital News Illinois reports the president didn't say what federal funding he plans to withhold. Illinois was the first state to entirely abolish cash bail in 2023, though other states limit its use. Illinois instead uses a risk-based system to determine if a person should remain in jail before trial. Prosecutors file detention petitions that a judge reviews in a hearing. Trump claimed Illinois has seen more crime because it does not use cash bail. Early research has found there has not been an increase in crime because of the law. Democratic Congressman Eric Sorensen says the Trump administration's efforts to cut staff and close offices at the Social Security Administration are part of an effort to privatize the program. Sorensen says closing field offices will make it harder for people to figure out their benefits, especially when fewer staff will be taking calls.
This administration, Donald Trump, doesn't want this to work, and he wants to destroy it so that he can privatize it the way that he wants.
Social Security is expected to become insolvent in less than a decade. Still to come, a Central Illinois attorney was sanctioned for using AI in a brief with hallucinated cases. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for sunny skies with a high of 78 degrees and a west wind 5 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 56 degrees and a southwest wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 82 degrees, a southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear skies with a low of 55 degrees, a northwest wind 5 miles per hour. And for Friday, sunny with a high of 76 degrees, and a northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, AI is making inroads in a variety of different industries, including journalism. So what form does that take? And do you think a news outlet that made use of AI would be more or less valuable to you? I'm Brian Mackey. That, plus a visit to the Farm Progress Show, next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. A Central Illinois attorney has been sanctioned after filing a brief written partially by artificial intelligence that cited several hallucinated or non-existent cases. As Ryan Denham with Illinois Public Radio Station WGLT reports, problematic anecdotes like this can obscure AI's promise in closing gaps in access to justice.
The case happened in the 4th District Appellate Court, which includes McLean County. Lawyer William Panicki of Springfield used AI to help write a brief for a case in which a woman was at risk of losing her parental rights. The brief referenced multiple non-existent cases, something only discovered when the appellate justices reviewed the case. It's believed to be one of the first known cases of an Illinois lawyer being punished for misusing AI.
I was careless and I was reckless when I did it.
That's Panicki talking to the justices during a hearing this summer.
I have no excuse, just explanation. At the point in time that I filed it, I was extremely busy and I made a mistake and was not thorough enough.
AI is disrupting many industries, but the stakes are unusually high in the courts, where a judge's ruling can take away someone's parental rights, livelihood, or freedom. The Illinois Supreme Court enacted a new rule on AI in January, generally permitting its use throughout Illinois courts, but reminding judges and lawyers that they are ultimately accountable for their own work. The High Court warned that AI could jeopardize due process or equal protection, and it called out misleading content that obscures truth-finding. That's what happened in the case before the 4th District Appellate Court. Panicki was appointed to that case last fall by the Sangamon County Circuit Court as the woman appealed the termination of her parental rights. That's when Panicki filed the brief, apparently using AI to write a draft of the brief and not reviewing what it had generated. Justice Catherine Zienoff told Panicki that it took a lot of extra work by the appellate court's research department and law clerks to unravel the mystery of the made-up cases.
And the extent of the work done, quite frankly, was significant and time-consuming.
Ultimately, Panicki was ordered to return $6,900 that he was paid to work on the case, plus a $1,000 fine, and flagging the case for the Illinois Attorney Registration and Disciplinary Commission. Separately, the justices upheld the trial court's ruling terminating the woman's parental rights. Panicki has been practicing law for 56 years. He told WGLT that he fell on his sword and plans to surrender his law license. The case seemed to unsettle the three presiding justices, who wrote in July that it was the first time they've addressed the use of AI in the preparation of legal filings. Justice James Kinect of Normal compared it to how someone feels after suffering a burglary at their home.
I've been a judge for 50 years, and now the sanctity of my service has been invaded by AI and by lawyers who have decided that perhaps AI is a shortcut or a useful tool, whichever way you look at it.
The case has made waves in Illinois legal circles. Here's Amelia Burgess, director of Illinois State University's Legal Studies Program.
We have a duty of candor to the court, and citing to cases that do not exist is inconsistent with our obligations as legal professionals and as attorneys. That is something that has always been true, though, that we have those obligations. We need to double-check the work, regardless of where it came from.
Burgess noted that the Illinois Supreme Court's AI rule is quite permissive and does not prohibit attorneys from using it. She says rules of professional conduct require attorneys to keep up with new technology.
It doesn't mean we have to be experts. It doesn't mean we have to use the technology. But if we do, we have to do so responsibly.
In announcing the new policy, the Illinois Supreme Court acknowledged the promise of potential efficiencies and improved access to justice. The access to justice gap often refers to civil cases. Criminal defendants have the right to a court-appointed attorney. Those in civil cases, such as divorce or family court, do not. Low-income Americans receive no or inadequate legal help for a staggering 92% of all civil legal problems that impacted them substantially. That's according to a Legal Services Corporation report. That leaves a lot of self-represented litigants. AI could help. Imagine an AI-powered app made available to renters, capable of answering questions about how to get your security deposit back from a landlord. What's the process? What are the timelines? What do I need to do before I move out? How do I evaluate if I'm really liable for these damages? That's a scenario described to me by Daniel Linna Jr., Senior Lecturer and Director of Law and Technology Initiatives at Northwestern. He served on the committee that helped craft the Supreme Court's policy on AI.
And now, with generative AI tools, with these conversational AI tools, we can create even better tools that are a little bit easier to create in a variety of ways, but that can really connect with people and meet them where they are to help them understand how the law applies to their situation.
Lena sees great potential for AI in improving the quality of legal work, not just making it more efficiently done. He says it could help judges process an onslaught of incoming evidence and briefs, or help attorneys more easily summarize hundreds of pages of deposition transcripts.
So it can help some of the areas where there's a lot of so-called grunt work that's being done, help make that a little bit easier to do and help get to better results, higher quality results doing that.
When used properly, Linus says there is a huge upside to AI.
Of course, we need to be measuring these hallucinations and the negatives, but the other side of the ledger is understanding the positive benefits that these tools are bringing across this whole ecosystem for lawyers, judges, and especially self-represented litigants.
Linus says there's an important distinction between consumer-grade AI tools like ChatGPT and AI-enabled proprietary tools built specifically for those working in the legal field, which would have access to all of the cases that are really out there. That would stop hallucinations. I'm Ryan Denham.
That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by May Ansar, Arjun Tucker, Capital News Illinois, Eric Stock, and Ryan Denham. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.